Tonight I wanted to talk about a quality that is, I don't know, sometimes people think it's controversial in the wording of it, but I want to point instead toward the experience and its role on the path of liberation, and that quality is sometimes translated as faith, or also confidence or trust. And you know, what is the value of something like that, and what does it mean for those of us who don't necessarily bring that kind of orientation, or if we're recovering from some earlier religious experience, what possible role does this particular emotional and mental quality have for us? It turns out it plays a fairly important role on the path that we're on, so it's useful now and then at least to have a look at it. And I'm basing some of this material on an analysis that Gil Fronsdahl did recently, which I thought was kind of a nice unpacking of this concept, and then I'm mixing in a few other things. Here are a couple of overview quotes. "It is faith that is one's partner, and wisdom that instructs. Delighting in Nibbana, a mortal is released from all suffering." And, "Faith is here one's greatest wealth. The Dhamma practiced well brings happiness. Truth is the sweetest of tastes. Living by wisdom is the best of lives." So I like these two quotes because they juxtapose right next to each other faith with wisdom and faith with truth together. So it's not that they're unrelated or, in opposition somehow, but it's just like, yeah, this is how you would live. If you want to live with truth and wisdom and insight, you're going to have faith in your heart. That's what it's about. So what's that, how does that work for us? So maybe to balance, there's another quote, which the Buddha once is said to have said, "It is for you to make strong effort. The Buddhas only tell you how." So we're not talking about faith where somebody else is going to do it for us. This is faith where we need it because this path is hard. This path is hard to walk. You're going to need something that inspires or allows you to trust when the mind is changing in ways that are surprising. And we're doing something very radical to the mind and heart on this practice, and even if that's not your aim, it starts to happen anyway, in that we really start out the path, if I can offer a general framing of it, there are many framings, but here's one. We start out very interested in our self-view and me and my story and my life, and because that's how we grew up, probably. And then, at some point this doesn't work that well for us. And so one thing that the path starts to do is change that orientation of always being the center of the universe and always my view and my feelings and so forth. And, in simple ways, we include others and become more generous, more compassionate. And then more deeply, we begin to understand emptiness and the idea that, this notion of the self is kind of constructed anyway, and that there are other more reliable bases for our way of thinking. But that's very hard to just cognize, and it comes about more subtly than we think. So it's for us to make strong effort. The Buddhas only tell us how, but to make strong effort, we are going to need some kind of faith. And the faith that's most often talked about in the teachings is the Pali word for it is sadha. So it's translated as faith. And it's something about trust or confidence in someone or something. It's pretty good. And it's, but there's another kind. There are two kinds, but we'll start with sadha. So sadha is not really like belief. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more, but it's much more of an emotional quality. It's not about, it's emotional quality that motivates us to practice, essentially. It's not about belief, which tends to passivate us. Is that a word? Make us passive if we just believe in something. Whereas faith is meant to energize us, actually, and call us to action. So it's a very different motion of the heart, if you will. And then the second kind, I said there were two kinds. The second word that's sometimes used in this for this idea is pasada, and sadha and pasada. And pasada is more like confidence, and sometimes, usually it's translated as confident or trusting in some way. And it's most commonly associated with that quality. I don't know if you guys have seen monastics, Buddhist monastics, but often there's a way that they carry themselves or just have a presence that I at least find inspiring. I don't necessarily want to be a monastic myself, but I think they're really cool people. They're very settled, they're very calm, serene. They've made a choice that, at least if it works for them, they have something about their bearing. And it turns out that this is not just, Kim's personal relationship to monastics. This is talked about a lot. I know other people talk about it too. But it's actually talked about in the suttas as pasada is what is inspired by seeing somebody who's very devoted to the path. And so you get that feeling like, they really embody something interesting, something that draws me in some way, and that quality is pasada, is trust or confidence. So you get the sense of, okay, this path kind of works. These people look radiant and like it's really settled something in them. So then that helps me think, okay, I'm glad I'm putting my time and effort into this. Pasada also, the reason maybe why it's used for this kind of faith is that it has a double meaning in Pali. It also actually describes how you look, which is clearness, brightness, purity, and calmness. People who look like that are inspiring. So a peaceful confidence in some way, not zealotry. It's not at all what it's about. So these two words, they overlap in meaning. These two kinds of faith. But what Gil points out in his analysis, and which drew me to wanting to unpack this, is that sadha is generally used when discussing the confidence or trust that's needed to start practice. It's something that we initiate and carries us at the beginning, whereas pasada is used more often to refer to verified faith, or the confidence that we get after we've walked for a while, and then we have something that's kind of like faith, but it's more like, I actually know because I've experienced this. It's a direct knowing of some kind. And that is also called faith, or confidence. It's interesting. So let's talk a little bit more about each of these different types. So sadha is really more associated with action than with belief. I talked about how it's what initiates us and gets us walking. It actually originally had some meanings that were related to making offerings to gods, but they were about taking action. It was the action that mattered, not the particular faith. And then it's really, to talk about how it would manifest for us, it's really affective in nature. It's an emotional quality. And it's sometimes associated even with love. That's a similar, like loving kindness, that's a similar kind of movement of the heart. And my understanding is that when faith is pure and bright and is this sadha quality, it opens the heart and it opens possibilities. Exactly the opposite of the way belief or kind of gripping onto something or fundamentalism is going to close and close possibilities and make rigid definitions and boundaries around things. This quality of faith always has this opening feeling to it, which is why it helps bring us the ability to start walking this path. The Buddha acknowledges that for some people, progressing through a degree of faith and love, is the phrase used, is how they advance on the path. So there are actually people who are called faith types, as opposed to wisdom types or energy types or other things. Faith types whose practice develops actually because they have this affective quality. It's very important for them. And even if we're not that type, I think connecting with that in ourselves is helpful. So it's not that faith is kind of meant just for its own sake. It's a nice thing to have. It's actually meant to do something. I also have, I found this quote from another teacher. Compassion is the difference between a faith that opens you to what life brings and beliefs that force you to close down to protect what you cannot or will not question. I liked that. It used compassion instead of love, but it was relating it to the same idea, is that faith opens and belief closes, and that the quality where we're not willing to question something or something has to be that way is kind of the antithesis of faith, interestingly, in the way we're talking about it. So we have to bend our mind a little bit.
Can you read that again?
Yeah. Compassion is the difference between a faith that opens you to what life brings and beliefs that force you to close down to protect what you cannot or will not question. And so if this heart quality is infused with compassion in this case, or love is what the Buddha said, then it has this rightness to it that helps progress us along the path. And then there's also a different teaching that says that there are three different types of faith in some way. And the first one, or maybe the first couple, are the most related to this quality of sadha. And the first is that there's we may hear something and it makes sense to us. And then that gives us some confidence or faith that we can practice it. So it's this quality of being ready to engage. I can totally relate to this, and I hear this a lot from other people also, is that something in your life isn't working, or you have some suffering open, say before you found the path, and you come somehow, we don't know how these things happen, but you somehow encounter these teachings or a meditation teacher or a meditation group or something, and you arrive and you listen and you say, at last somebody is saying something that sounds right to me. And there was a sort of a lostness, and then there's like, oh, this makes sense in a certain way. I want to find out more about this. You don't necessarily think of that as faith, because it could be very cognitive. It's like, oh, these, there's just that feeling of it works. But it is a feeling, and it is a form of faith. Actually, it's kind of in its initial form, it's that sense of, okay, I'm ready to engage with this. And then later, maybe as we've practiced a little bit more, this manifests more as appreciation. Appreciation for having a path that works. I've certainly felt that. And sometimes it's nice to just connect with that deliberately, to just feel, wow, step back for a moment and say, I have found a path that is a way to engage with experience that works for me. Wow, that's pretty cool. That's a nice thing to feel. And that feeling is a type of faith. You're saying that you have confidence that this is working. And I know there are those times when we say, this is not working, I don't want to do this, this doesn't make sense. And yet, there's still a feeling there. And that starts to shade into this second type of faith, which is a longing or a yearning. And now this is maybe more like what we would associate with religious faith, but even if you don't think of yourself as religious, why is it that you sit still and try to calm your mind for half an hour or 40 minutes fairly frequently? There's other things you could do with that time. And often, you know, we have a lot of reasons. Oh, there's less stress, I'm calmer, I don't get as angry. Those are all true. And if you sort of ask yourself more deeply, sometimes there's a sense of longing, of I'm looking for something, or I am inspired that my heart could be different, my mind could be different. Something. Sometimes you can't even articulate it. But I found these verses. Here in this forest, the middle of my life, trees close in, a darkening path awaits my feet. Much have I learned, yet more I seek to know. What sense does it make for me to turn back now? Though teachers assure me time and again about what they feel I know and understand, my heart still longs for what no words will serve. What is there to do but trust this yearning and go on? So I don't know if that's there for you, but it might be in some form or sometimes. And then the third type of faith is harder to talk about, but it's a very deep emotional energy that fuels strengthening of the attention in practice. Maybe is the best way to say it. If we're sitting, you know, you have those sittings every now and then where the mind does actually get clear and there's a feeling of heightened attention. Maybe the periods during a meditation, or sometimes you'll have a whole meditation where it just feels like the mind is right there. And the quality that's behind that, one quality that can be behind that, let me say there are several ways you can do that, but one of them can be just this vibrant opening to what's there. You know, the mind became very clear because you stopped resisting anything in experience, basically. Often my mind is not clear because I've decided some part of experience is more important than some other part. I want to think about that thing that's going to happen tomorrow, or I'm focused on that pain, or I'm just, you know, tired or something, and so I'm letting the fuzz come in. But if the mind is sort of equally present for everything, there's a vibrancy to attention, and that is starting to touch into this faith, remember that earlier quote about compassion, a faith that opens you to what life brings. So it might be reasonable to say faith is the willingness to open to experience. Why would you open to experience? You know, it's hard enough. It's hard when we feel all that, but something helps us open. And so this most subtle kind of faith is that ability to say yes, even though it hurts, or even though I don't know what I'm going to experience when I open to this, something tells me it's important to open. It's better than being closed. So that's another kind of faith. And that begins to shade toward the pasada, which I'm going to talk about in a moment. But let me just mention just summarize the benefits of this kind of primary faith, the sadha. The first we've talked about is that it fuels motivation to practice. You know, it's what, why would you do it if you didn't have any confidence in it? So even if you don't think of yourself as having faith, the fact that you're doing it, you have confidence at some level, otherwise you wouldn't be doing it. And then the second is this thing I talked about of powering attention. So a lot of insight happens when we have sufficient level of attention. We're not going to have an important insight if the mind is distracted and kind of halfway there. usually. It just doesn't happen. But if the mind is right there, and it doesn't have to be deep in meditation, we can have these moments of clarity in daily life. But the mind should be clear and bright and present and open for it to have some kind of an insight. And faith is one of the qualities that fuels that. You can do it with love or compassion or concentration, other things. The aim is to get, doesn't matter how you get there, and so lots of opportunities are offered, but to get that attention to that balanced, bright place so that it can see something different. Faith is one of the ways to get there. And then third is that when faith, I didn't talk about this in much detail, but you can kind of infer it, you'll understand it from what we talked about before. It's also said in the one of the Buddhist teachings that when faith arises strongly, it ends the hindrances, which means that the mind will be able to get concentrated. So it prevents the mind from falling into greed and ill will, from imbalances of energy, and from doubt. So what does it say? When it arises, sadha averts the hindrances, and a mind free of the hindrances is clear, composed, and undisturbed. In this way, sadha has the characteristic of tranquil happiness. So these are all kind of the affective, emotional connections that faith brings to our practice. And then in addition, I'll just point out that faith is one of the five spiritual faculties, as they're called, which are basically qualities of mind that help us learn a skill. So you have to have some degree of faith in order to learn something. So even aside from the emotional part, this quality of confidence or trust helps us learn things. What should we have faith in? Often, this initial faith is faith in the Buddha or in his awakening, essentially, in the teachings. That's the most common. But I think, from my experience, what I see in people, because we don't have a living Buddha now, is that there's more often faith in the teachings or in the practice. That seems to be what comes up for people at the beginning of the path. I think you still have to hear the teachings. There's that sense of, oh, this makes sense. At last I found something that's going to work. But then the faith expresses itself through being willing to meditate, and the practice comes more forth. Okay, so let me move into pasada, which is sometimes called verified faith. And that's more about we've practiced for a while, and there's a confidence that comes from actually seeing that something in our life has changed. And it doesn't have to be that you've had some huge, profound insight or awakening moment. It's actually can be as simple as, I just noticed that this morning I didn't snap at my coworker in a situation where I know I would have, 2 months ago, something like that. There you go. That's it. It's not any more obscure or mystical than that. It's like, and you didn't have to go to, this does sometimes help, but you didn't have to go to anger management class, for example. I'm not saying you shouldn't. But there's something about this practice, right, where after a while we notice that we're different. It's like, huh, something fell away. Something seems to not be there. I'm not as disturbed, whatever it is. And so, it's maybe a little bit mysterious sometimes. But we don't, it provides confidence that we know it can actually work. In the discourses, it's understood that this comes about through, this kind of confidence comes about through what's called direct knowledge, which is kind of a technical-sounding phrase. But what it usually means, often in the body, is that there's some kind of a knowing that is not cognitive. And I experience this in different ways. Sometimes I do a lot in my practice with sitting with tension that has built up either just throughout the day, but sometimes the more subtle tensions are related to ways that I'm seeing things, like perceptions or beliefs or old stories that are stuck somehow in my system. And I find that attending to them very closely with the techniques for mindfulness of the body, sometimes they're just sort of fade away, and I don't know, I just notice that they're gone, but sometimes there's actually kind of a snapping feeling, or a feeling of a passage, a channel was blocked, and then somehow the rocks got cleared out of the way and the water rushes down the channel. There's a feeling like that. And so that would be an example of direct knowledge. It's a very visceral feeling. And if we have direct knowledge of a certain teaching, particular teaching, sometimes that will precipitate this quality of pasada. So, I can say it's true for these experiences in the body where something opens or releases, something like that. I know sometimes it releases like I just let my shoulders down because it's been a long day. But sometimes there's a particular quality of the release where I'm like, okay, that one's not coming back. That was something that I let go of in my mind, my heart somehow, and I'm feeling it in the body. And that direct knowledge fuels me to, feel additional trust, feel certainty that the teachings do work. The Buddha describes this kind of faith as rooted in vision, which I think is a nice phrase, to have faith that's rooted in vision. And, again, these are lofty-sounding words, but you might just consider for yourself, is there something you know that you know directly because it happened in your practice? And if someone were to say to you, you don't really know that, you could easily say, no, I know that for sure. Someone once took it a little farther and said that we could check if there's something in us that even if the Buddha were to appear before us and say, that's not true, we would be able to say, that's true. I know that. It's interesting. Interesting to set the bar there. So it's said that, when this happens, and this will happen at various levels throughout practice, but when it happens more and more deeply, it becomes what's called avecha pasada, which means knowing faith or faith based in knowing. That's what we've been talking about. And this is also then described as perfect confidence. And it tends to be, in the classical teachings, perfect confidence in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And, if that sounds too religious for us, it could be perfect confidence that awareness leads to transformation, that this cultivation of attention really matters. Perfect confidence that if I keep doing this practice, something's going to keep opening. This path is onward leading. I trust something about it. Even if I get to a tough place sometimes, I know that if I keep doing it, it will change. And also perfect confidence that other people who are practicing this path are practicing well and are worthy of respect and gifts. And there's a sort of a classic list, but we feel drawn to and dedicated to other people also who are doing this. So, and it's not like a, favoritism, that's not what it's talking about. It's more, again, this emotional quality. And we feel that in communities like this that practice together, a sense of, these are my people, or, these folks, I like to associate with them. I like to have them as friends. I look at what they do and try to emulate their good qualities, those kinds of things that we tend to feel about other people who are also practicing. So I think that if we think of faith as something where we're willing to open to experience, that initialness, that sadha that we talked about of initially walking the path, would be something like a vulnerability, actually. And, maybe the faith makes us strong in some way, but if you're going to be willing to open to something where you don't know what's going to happen when you do that, there's a real vulnerability in that. And I appreciate that about people who have that initial kind of faith. It takes a genuine quality of surrender, almost. And then pasada, once we know that doing that is going to be okay, then what we have looks more like courage. And it looks like courage from the outside, but it doesn't necessarily feel like courage from the inside because we don't need it so much. We know that it's going to be okay at some level. Although I think maybe I'll say that this is where the two kind of iterate. And, you know, we open a certain degree when we start to practice, and that goes along and we get some verification and we get some more confidence from that. And then we don't get to rest on our laurels. My experience of the path is that then the next layer opens and there's a whole new feeling of, oh my God, groundlessness, I don't know what I'm doing, and I need that sadha again to take the next step. And then something comes from that that I don't necessarily know, but it brings another level of confidence. I remember the way this evolved a little bit for me when I was starting to do just the path of getting into doing more and more practice, being willing to do more and more practice. And I remember I started sitting every day and maybe lengthening the time, but you know, it's like it was a big thing to decide to do that every day. And then I had a day where I said, I'm gonna go to a day long, you know, that's, I'm gonna see what it's like to sit for 8 hours. And I remember feeling a little bit nervous about that. It's like, what's gonna happen to my mind if I do this all day? And it was great, of course. At the end of the day, I thought, wow, you know, I didn't know I could feel so focused or calm or whatever I felt. But it was, and then I had the confidence. And then I knew I can do a day, no problem. I can do a day, and it's pretty good. My body hurt a little bit, but okay. And so then I thought, I'm going to go on a retreat. I'm going to go on a residential retreat. And of course, being me, I signed up for a 9-day retreat my first time. And I got there, and I thought, what am I doing? You know, And so I told the teacher, I said, I'm just doing this as an experiment. I just want to see what's going to happen if I meditate for 9 days. It's like that's the way I could justify it. And after 9 days, you know, all this stuff happened and whatever, it was a wild ride, but I knew I could do it, right? And then that was kind of the end. I went on a lot of retreats after that. It wasn't the end of my retreats. It was the end of my worrying about it. I was like, okay, when can I sign up for a 14-day? When can I do a 90-day? You know. So this is, I think this is an example of how it keeps opening in some way. And then, you know, maybe I'll say that after I did a whole bunch of retreats, I kind of felt saturated with that. I was like, okay, I'm at the end of some phase of doing lots and lots and lots of retreats. And then I was left with, I'm entering the world. Oh, right, I have to get back into the world. And that was actually a whole different need for sadha again, because I'd been out for a long time. And I still feel like I'm making that transition, maybe. So the continual opening and deepening and being willing to be different, do something different, let the practice change us in ways that we don't understand ahead of time, I think is a lot of what this is about. And then we start to trust that, you know, more than the things that we put trust in before. Imperceptibly, that shifts away from trusting the stuff of our lives, the concepts, the ideas of who I am, into more that opening, that walking, that whatever the next retreat's going to bring, you know, however it is that we're advancing on the path. And I have this quote from Sharon Salzberg. Anything outside of us can crumble into dust. No symbol, no construction, no condition, no relationship, no life is immune to change. What can any of us place our faith in that endures? According to Buddhist teachings, to discover that is to know the deepest level of faith. So it's pointing toward something that's very hard to point to. And maybe that's what we feel when we feel that longing or that calling that we can't quite describe. And if it's, you know, if that's not meaningful for you right now, then just let it go by. And if it is, I encourage you to fan that flame a little bit. Good will come of it. Okay, are there questions or comments? Yeah.
Can you read the last sentence again?
The last quote that I read?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything outside of us can crumble into dust. No symbol, no construction, no condition, no relationship, no life is immune to change. What can any of us place our faith in that endures? According to Buddhist teachings, to discover that is to know the deepest level of faith. Does that help? Yeah.
I think maybe a little ironically for a lot of us, what gives us faith in the Dharma is being told so explicitly that we are not asked to believe anything.
That's right, yeah. It's interesting, isn't it?
It's so empowering.
Yeah.
To check it out, see if it makes you happy, see if it reduces suffering.
Mm-hmm.
If so, follow it. That I can get behind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting that that's actually a kind of faith, and yet, mm-hmm. yeah. It's very different from belief.
It's so grounded. Mm. It's so...
Yeah.
So real.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Not to play the devil's advocate too much, but I think a person can have tons of faith and still be delusional.
Yeah. So, there's different... Well, maybe you could say a little bit more about that. I have a thought on that, but let me hear more of what fueled you to say that.
Just people believing that they know the path and they know these things for some reason or another and find out down the road that they didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things that we have to let go of eventually on the path is conceit, or the sense of agency and knowing. So, yeah, you're saying even on the Buddhist path this can happen. Absolutely. And we start out as very imperfect practitioners because we have greed, hatred, and delusion. And actually, when I started, I was concerned about this because I knew I had a lot of those three qualities. And I thought, how could it be that somebody like me could have enough, you know, because I don't have wisdom, how am I going to be able to choose the right practices and choose the right teacher and do it right since I have all these things in my way? And what I learned is that we always have just enough wisdom to take the next step on the path. And so we just take the step that it looks like we can take, and then that will give us the information that we need to take the next step. And sometimes what that information is was, wow, I didn't understand. You know, I thought I did, and I took this step, and that it showed me that I didn't understand something. Does that start to speak to what you're saying? I think the path will eventually purify itself. I guess that's what I'm saying. That's my confidence. Even if we end up, we're going slightly wrong at the beginning because how could we? We're not there yet. What's coming up for you as I say this? Does that help at all?
Yes, it helps to find humility.
Yeah.
And the suttas have...
Well, hang on, we have one.
There's many Americans that are... that seem to be, you know, just full of faith. And I don't know where they're getting it.
Yeah, so you're talking more about the belief kind of faith.
The belief kind of faith.
Yeah, there is a lot of that.
If there were an opposite word for faith, what would that be like? Distrust.
Yeah, mistrust. Or might be delusion. It is interesting to ponder. I mean, we might think of doubt, but I don't know that faith is the... I don't know that faith counters doubt. I think wisdom counters doubt. Faith counters something like passivity or unwillingness or fear of opening.
Yeah.
Yeah, faith and fear, yeah. Yeah.
I was curious also, because sometimes I feel like I'm not motivated or inspired to the level I used to be, and I'm wondering, like, why is that the case? Would that be also an issue of faith? Not opening or resistance to opening to experience?
Maybe. The heart has so many tricky layers to it that there can be things that we don't want to open to, and they're buried in some way that we don't know that we don't want to open to them. And so what it manifests, the way it manifests is, I'm too busy to practice, I don't have time for that retreat, I signed up for it but I'm going to cancel it because I need to work, something like that. And it can take a while to kind of, you know, work on that knot enough that some of the strings start to come loose and you start to see what's bringing all that about. If you're genuinely not motivated to practice at all because of doubt.
Actually, no, I'm actually motivated to practice.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, in life in general.
In life in general.
Yeah. Going towards the goals that once I was interested in, I feel like that's going away.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This is a different phenomenon. So Okay. This has happened since you started practicing?
Not before, and actually that's why I'm coming to practice.
Oh, I see. Okay, so yes. So this is... Yeah, I used a phrase earlier that, you know, I didn't explain, but comes in various forms, and what you're describing is one of them, which is the phrase of, what I'm doing isn't really working. And maybe that's what's going on. Is that, you know, mostly we do stuff in our life because we're supposed to, you know, we get an education or training of some kind or whatever, we get the job, we get the partner, we get the dog, I'm supposed to have a dog, right? And, you know, things like that. And I'm not saying this is exactly your pattern, but there can be ways in which we didn't make those choices for ourselves. You know, society did, or our parents, or our cultural expectations, whatever it is. And then at some point we start thinking, wait a minute, this isn't exactly what I wanted, or this isn't feeding, this isn't nourishing something in me. And then we find something. Maybe this path, for example, which invites us to find something that's truly nourishing, something that's truly supportive for us. And sometimes we start fading in interest before we find it. Sometimes we find it and then suddenly we realize stuff isn't as interesting as it used to be. But I'm having the feeling that that might be some of what's going on. And then it's a matter of finding, listening, and finding what is speaking inside of you.
Mm-hmm. I really appreciated what you said, especially the relationship between faith and experience.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've been thinking about is that faith seems to be experience that is forgotten by the mind, but remembered by the body or intuition or grace or something. That,
yeah, so there's some deeper source of the knowing, essentially.
And that, yeah, it's often in forgetting the experience, or, you know, maybe it's the experience, the ultimate experience of of oneness or completeness that, you know, supposedly we all carry with us from having been born from it.
Mm. Sometimes that that what you're saying comes from the fact that certain insights or experiences have a quality to them as if they're like remembering something that you've forgotten. Have you experienced something like that?
Right.
Yeah. And so I'm just picking up your same phrases. And yeah, sometimes it's said that we're traveling home on this path, you know, mm-hmm. like T.S. Eliot, the object of all our wandering will be to return where we started and know the place for the first time.
Mm.
So there can be a sense that, you know, what we're discovering we already kind of knew, but, you know, the mind, and this is this model of the mind where it's already enlightened but has clouds over it, basically. So that's one way that people see the mind, yeah. And if it's helpful for you, yeah.
Yeah, well, and also Joseph Campbell made such a strong differentiation between faith and experience, because he said, I don't need faith because I have experience, but I loved your reframe, which was faith can lead us to experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice.
Yeah. I didn't mention this teaching in this talk, but there's another teaching that talks about the five faculties. I did allude to the five faculties, and they're faith, energy, mindfulness, confidence, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. So faith and wisdom are on either end. And sometimes it's said that they're a progression, and you start with faith. That's what you need to begin. And then you go through these other things in the middle, and you end up with wisdom, which is, and it's a circle, and wisdom is actually the same as faith. And, that, and this wisdom is represented by this confirmed confidence, as it's called. Perfect confidence is the same as wisdom. So perfect faith is the same as wisdom. You can chew on that one. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
One thing that drives me along the path at times, and the quote you had earlier about being in the forest just like woke it up for me, was curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
What's around the next bend?
Yeah.
And I don't know how that relates to faith exactly, but knowing that it's you know, tied up with lots of other things, knowing that other people have been on this path and that there isn't necessarily danger around the next bend,
right?
But there is an adventure almost.
Yeah, so you've gone beyond the willingness to eagerness in a sense, and that's that's all. Yeah, those are all wholesome emotional qualities that come up on the path. Yeah, so I would say faith is mixed in there, and along with some other things,
confidence
that you can go around. I hear in him though almost joy, mm-hmm. or you know, mm-hmm. something like that, and that's. That's all part of the mix. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
So is it in Buddhism that they recognize that there are different personality types that are more oriented mm-hmm. around faith or experience?
Yeah, I mentioned a faith type, yeah. Yeah, there's said to be... Are you looking for the list?
No, it's just curious. I know in Hinduism they have a lot of different
types. Yeah,
they have, and
maybe because all of those teachings were all kind of around at the time of the Buddha, he also offered his version of that. And yeah, there are different personality types, and one is the faith type. Yeah.
That's interesting.